gentlemen, welcome to Live at the Apollo, which I am hosting like a boss. Right. Today, before I was due to come here, I was having a meal with my children. I was waiting for my taxi. And as my taxi arrived, because my phone went bing, my youngest child, sitting opposite me, very small child, she looked at me and she went, bleh, and she projectile vomited at me the way small children do. Have you seen this? Small children, they vomit like this. They don't vomit like this. Why? Because they're too stupid to know about gravity. Vomit like this, right? And then she continued to vomit the way small children do, which is very stupidly, right? Because they get overwhelmed by what is a natural biological response, right? They go, and then they're like, and they're splashing in their face and choking. I have always looked at a small child when it is throwing up and thought, what are you doing? Just vomit. And then my teenage son was in the room and he looked at his sister and went, oh, mate. And I was like, no, you hold it. And then our middle child, she's quite fractured because she's the middle one. I haven't done it, the other two have done it. She's always complaining that we don't pay as much attention to her as we do to her siblings. Any middle children here who feel that way? Right? She's always complaining, and it's completely absurd. I mean, as a parent, you care equally about all of your children. And then there was some noise. I looked down, there she was. I'm like, yes, whatever. Anyway, ridiculous. And I looked at this and I was like, oh, vomit and tears and mayhem. This is catastrophic. Of course, I didn't say that to my children. To them, I said, you guys, my Uber's here, so I'm gonna go. And I left. Because that phrase, well, my Uber's here, it is the get out phrase of our times, right? How many people here have used that phrase just to leave a situation you didn't want to be in anymore? Yeah, exactly. Because when you say, well, my Uber's here, what do people say? They say, okay, man, you better go. No one ever checks your phone. Just say, okay, go. It's such a great phrase. I feel like if ISIS kidnapped me and took me into some dark cave and was, I don't know what, but let's go with pummeling the shit out of me, and my phone went ping and I said, oh, my Uber's here. They'd be like, ah, Habibi, please go. Yeah. So I'm delighted to be here because you're great, but it's also much better than the alternative. Anyway, recently someone said to me, well, with all that's going on in the world now, Sindhu, surely on stage you're talking more about politics. I'm not a political comic, so I said, no, why should I? And then they said, because you're a brown woman. That's very political. What? I mean, why as a brown woman can I not just care about my own shit? Why do I have to care about, well, frankly, what is your shit? You know? And also, as a brown woman, I did my homework right up top. When I moved to this country 20-odd years ago, I applied for and got a UK passport like this. And then, I married a European. Hello, two for two. So for those of you who are floundering now, well, you snooze, you fucking lose, all right? But it's not that I don't think about politics, and it's not that I don't worry about politics. Of course I do. When the Brexit vote happened, I called my mother. She lives in India. And I was so upset. I was crying. And I said, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, mommy, and the kids. And what about us? And my mother said, oh, just shut up. Your life could be much worse even without the Brexit, you know. And I said, how? She said, well, you could be dead. Husband could marry the pretty lady, and she could be very cruel to your kids. I was like, first of all, mommy, that is very specific, all right? And second of all, who is the pretty lady? But I tell you what, immediately stopped thinking about politics and started thinking about my husband. I have been married for over a decade, which means for over a decade, I have been working with this man. I have been working on this man. And Apollo, I won't lie to you. I have been manipulating the shit out of this man to make him a mildly agreeable spouse. And I'm going to die and some bitch is going to inherit that? No. No, no, no. No. It's all mine. So I went and found my husband. He was reading. And I said, hey, if I die all of a sudden, are you going to get married again? And my husband said, what are we talking about? And I was like, oh my God, you're stalling. I mean, this is a yes and no question. So I said to him, listen to me. Before you make up any more lies, let me tell you the correct answer to this question. You please memorize it. First of all, if I die all of a sudden, you mourn me every single day of the week. Second of all, there is a giant picture of me in the hall. And every time you pass the picture, you stop and you do namaste to that picture. And if the kids are around, you call them over, you gather them up, and you all cry a little bit. And then because my husband knows me very well, he said, oh yeah, fine. Have you been talking to your mother? But here's the thing about being married a very long time. You get to know each other so well, right? I mean, my husband knows me well. I know my husband so well at this point that we can have a full-blown argument from start to finish, and he's not even home. You know? So, this year, I have been married 21 years. Thank you. Thank you. I know it looks like I could have been a child bride, which, where I'm from, totally possible. Anyway, I wasn't a child bride. Anyway, so 21 years. And here's what I've learned in 21 years, that to stay married and stay happy, because it's not naturally the same thing, to stay married and stay happy, what you must do is keep your focus on what is important. Keep your focus on what is important. Let everything else fall away. See, I'll explain. The other day, my husband and I were having an argument, a face-to-face one, the one where he's actually at home. So we're having an argument. And, I say argument. The fact is, after 21 years, my husband and I don't really have arguments. We have throwdowns. You know, throwdown, like MMA level. Do you know what MMA is, sir? Yeah, marriage martial arts. Proper MMA level. No matter what the topic, my husband and I both always bring it for everything. Because we know that after 21 years and 3 kids, nobody is fucking going anywhere. Right? We are just trying to get to the end of this somehow. And also, you should know, like I told you, when I arrived here, I got a UK passport. My husband is Scandinavian. He didn't bother. And then we were having this argument, and he was like, I don't understand why you didn't do it this way. And I said, really, what I don't understand is why you don't fuck off back where you came from. Apollo, I cannot lie to you. It felt pretty good. Oh my God, what a great phrase. I am totally on board with it now. Knock yourselves out. Such a good feeling it gives you afterwards, you know? The problem was it bothered our children a little bit. Because we were having lunch, it was Sunday. Our youngest child, she said, oh no, Mama said the F word. And I said, oh darling, you're right, I did. But you know what? When you grow up and meet the man of your dreams, so will you. And then my teenage son said something, but let me explain, ladies and gentlemen, between 45 to 85% of what this child says, I don't understand. Because he's a teenager. He just looked at me and said, why so salty, bro? And then our middle child, apart from being somewhat fractured, she's also very woke. By which I mean she doesn't understand the difference between racism and a joke about racism. So she got very upset and she said, you can't say that to Dad, that's racist. I said, racist? Look at my face. I can't be racist. Everybody knows only white people are racist. Oh, she got angry. Ah, she stomped out of the room. And I was like, oh, come on, darling. Sorry, it was a joke. I know, you're half white. Oops. Listen, I didn't say that to my husband because I'm racist. I said that to my husband because I'm married. And anyone who's been married any length of time, 5, 7, 8, 9 minutes, it doesn't matter. You know what the most important thing is. It is to win. Yeah. If you want to stay married and stay happy, you must always be trying to win. And by the way, this is not a narrow, ego-based, selfish goal. Not at all. See, when you win, you feel better about yourself. Am I right? Yeah? You feel better about yourself, you feel better about the rest of the world. You are a nicer person, you are a better spouse. You do it for the health of the unit. It is almost selfless, frankly. Always trying to find a way to win for the sake of the unit. And let me tell you, there's so many techniques. I'll give you one more, which is when the correct occasion presents itself, very casually, make sure you lie to your spouse. Okay? But the key is the correct occasion. Don't lie about lightweight rubbish like, I didn't eat the last hobnob. Nobody cares, it is a biscuit. But equally, don't swing to the other extreme and lie about really important stuff. Like what? Of course, no, this is your daughter. No. Lie on the correct occasions, the sweet spot. Stuff like, what? Oh, honey, I booked our holiday that week. I had absolutely no idea your mother was coming. And the reason you lie like this is when you do this, you keep your spouse mildly destabilized at all times. Right? And then you have more power, higher chance of winning. Which you do for the health of the unit. There you go. Simple. Now, I know for a fact that there are married people in the audience and you're thinking, she's really funny, but we're so honest with each other, that's not how my marriage works. You're thinking that, right? Yeah. Well, the reason you think that is because you are the loser. Apart from my marriage and my children, I'm also responsible for my parents, okay? And my parents, you know, they're aging, but here's the thing, they used to just be old, like they forgot stuff, but now they have moved from old to completely over the hill and are now living on a planet distant from everybody else, which is protected by a force field of bullshit logic that nobody can ever penetrate, okay? They have the most random ideas, but they are also always correct. And there's nothing I can do. I'm responsible for these two. Let me tell you, last year I had a bunch of sold out shows. I was super excited. And I met my parents, they were in India. And I said to my mother, Ma, I had all these sold out shows. What do you think? Because what did I want from my parents? Praise. We always want praise from our parents. So I said, Mommy, I had sold out shows. Isn't that great? And my mother said, yes, sold out shows. It's very great. Can you tell me the name of every single person who purchased a ticket? Because I will put a fruit for them in the temple. And I was like, every single... No, I can't do that. And she said, why not? And I was like, I don't know, data protection? Like, I... And she said, fine, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Anyway, it doesn't matter because you have always been a dishonest, secret-keeping daughter. So I went to my dad, because my dad is so much more reasonable than my mom. He is. And my dad's all about good health and wise sayings. He's also about this big... My dad's like Yoda, but not green. Anyway, so I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I had all these sold-out shows. What do you think? And my father said, sold-out shows, child? I think you are working too hard. Are you remembering to eat 7 almonds every day? I was like, 7? Why is it 7? Why is it 7, Dad? My father said, no need to shout. It is 7 because 6 won't do the job, and frankly, 8 is excessive. So I'm responsible for my marriage, my children. Now, the thing is, I can teach my children and try to get them to behave in a way I want. Trying to change my husband is like a lifelong project, which is how it should be. But parents, my parents have gotten too old, I can't change them. So what I've realized is the way to deal with them is when they start talking to you, just be quiet. How many of you know what that is? You're at a Sunday lunch with them, you think, if I don't speak, I won't lose the whole of this Sunday. Right? Yeah. So my mother was visiting, and we were watching television, and there was a retrospective on music, and the band Queen came on. You guys know Queen? Yeah. And we're watching with my mom, and my mom said, you know Freddie Mercury is an Indian, huh? And I said, yeah. She said, have a Parsi tha, which means he's a Zoroastrian. So I said, yeah. And then she said, but poor chap, he died of the AIDS. Now, in my head, I was like, Sindhu, there is no upside in telling her that it's AIDS. Because she's going to argue, you're going to get upset, and this Sunday is lost. So I didn't even look at my mother. I just kept looking at the television. Which mother is going to accept no acknowledgement when she's giving you wisdom? He said, did you hear me? He had an AIDS. You know, AIDS is a disease. You know, the AIDS is AIDS. He died of AIDS. You know, AIDS. And she sucked me into her vortex of bullshit. And I was like, Ma, it's AIDS. AIDS with an S. She said, AIDS? It is a one disease, not a many diseases. And I was like, you know what? It's S for syndrome. It's S for syndrome, mommy. It's not even S for plural. S for syndrome. My mother said, oh, you seem to know a lot about this disease. Is there something you are trying to tell me? And just then my husband walked in and she said, so, your wife, huh? She's an expert in the AIDS. You know that? In the Freddie Mercury died of AIDS. It's a very bad disease. You know, she knows a lot about AIDS. Why does she know about AIDS? And my husband just went like this and he walked over to me and he said, is she talking about AIDS? And I was like, dude, you know what? My Uber's here. I gotta go. And I left. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you.